and in the presence of God, as far as God's concerned, right now, what you're going to read is happening. Because God has no time. No time. All at once. So here we are, and we're going to read and take the record that God has given us, and in the presence of God. And God, you're able to go and deal with our head and heart because you're looking at the very thing that we're looking at. For real. Wow. So now, God, in chapter 7, remember, Jeremiah begins his particular ministry at this point at the temple, and chapters 7 through 10 are all messages he gives at the temple. And that's Solomon's temple now. And in the process, we share together in verse 3, last time we shared together, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now, and we shared together the word amend. It's a command. It's to cause yourself to do something. Make yourself do it. And thus, to the word amend, to be good, well, right, to make good, to do that which is suitable, well, right, beautiful, useful, do it, do it. And thus, they were to go, and in exercising their relationship, they needed to exercise to amend your ways and your doings, all the business they were doing, all their activity in behavior and action, and they needed to change that. And if you change, if you fix things, and remember we shared together, you can't change. How are you going to change? You can try to work at the power of positive thinking. You can do all of those things, and you have some measure of success. But in the process of that, it is limited and short-term. Doesn't last long. You can maybe change something. Remember the illustration of the balloon with all the different things about the balloon sticking out. And you push one end in. And when you push an end in that you are trying to change, it's going to show up where? It's going somewhere else. So we keep pushing things in. That's what people do. They push something in to make it better over here, but then it pops out over here. So it's not a winning game, but it's a better than some things, and so people do it. Now, to amend your ways requires God, and they have left God out of the relationship. Now, just to see that a little bit, over to the book of Amos for a moment. Amos in chapter 5. And you're going to go about 145 years earlier. You're going to go back in time about 145 years. To Amos, the 10 tribes in the north are up there. And here's Amos ministering to them. Now, in the process, the 10 tribes in the north were not doing good at all. They weren't. They have no king, good king. They have no good priest. They have no good anything. It's all about them. So now, in chapter 5, Amos, picking up, if I can, in the light of that, verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly the truth. So, what were the people doing in Israel's day in the 10 tribes in the north? They were going and they didn't want anyone to be a judge, a prophet, and make a decision and tell them something's right and something's wrong. They didn't want that person around at all. And they rebuked that person at the gate, not the gate of the temple. This is the gate in the the entrance of the city where the court is. They held their court at the gate where everyone gathers in the market and all of that. And thus, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly the truth. They just don't want to hear it at all. So now, sliding down if I can, and in, going to verse 12. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, they turn aside the poor in the gate for their right. In other words, they aren't handling fairly and rightly the people and the business. Verse 13. Therefore, since they're acting the way they act, therefore the prudent shall keep silence and in that time, for it is an evil time. In other words, the freedom of speech is gone. The society is so caught up in themselves that you can't afford to say anything without getting arrested, rebuked, in trouble. Society has taken over. So everyone, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Can a country get like that? Sure it can. Lots of countries in the world right now are just like that. Our country could get just like that. So now, having said that, God tells them, everyone keep quiet. It doesn't pay to speak out. Verse 14. Seek good, there's your word, seek good and not evil. Why? That you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good. There is amend again. Love the good. And establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and as such as are skillful in lamentation to wailing. In other words, the whole society, from the top to the bottom, to the craftsman, to the employer, to the employee, it's no good. Bad time. Now, that was 145 years ago, approximately. Now we're going to move forward to where we were, Jeremiah chapter 7. And you will note in verse 4, trust ye not in law. This is Jeremiah now, over and over again with the people coming into worship. As they come in and out of the temple, he's giving them the message over and over and over again. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 4, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Don't be trusting. The word trust, to rely upon, to hang upon something. Don't be relying upon. Don't be trusting. Don't be trusting what you're saying. What you're saying is not correct. Not correct at all. And you're going to see in verse 8, you'll see the verb again. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. What you're trusting in is thinking, and that thinking is going to bring you to ruin. Going to ruin you if you follow that thinking. So now, having said that, and you can keep going if I can, and in the light of that, trusting that, and it says in verse 4, trust ye not, don't be trusting, don't be relying on, don't be hanging in there, don't hold on tight to the lying words. And what were the words? What were they saying? And they were saying, it's repeated three times. It's like that we worship the, like in worship people have, ritual. They worship the god of Diana, and they say the same thing over and over and over. They repeat over and over and over. And thus, what were they saying? They were saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of the Lord. And then they said the temple of the Lord again, and the temple of the Lord again. They're saying it over and over and over again. Why are they saying it over and over? These words, you're trusting in what you're saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. It's the temple. It's the temple. The temple is God's temple. It's in God's city. It's according to God's blueprint. We are the people of God to worship God in Jerusalem, in this temple, Solomon's temple. We, you can't get us. God, it's all of you, and we're protected. You can't have anyone touch that which is yours. All other things in the world, but not your temple, not your city. No, you can't. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. It's God's temple, and God will protect his temple. God will do everything, and it isn't ours. It is ours. We keep talking about our temple, and we do what we want in our temple. But at this point, we choose to now claim it, give it to God. It's ours, normally. But now we're going to give it to God and acknowledge it's God's. It's God's house, God's temple. And therefore, we're quite safe. We're quite safe, to say the least. And thus, we're counting on this. We're counting on it. And people, and what are you doing? You're counting on this ritual, this activity. And in doing so, it isn't going to come out good. That's what you're counting on. And verse 5, for if you thoroughly amend, and there's the word amend twice, and it's an absolute infinitive. That means amend, do good, make it right, and then when you put the two together like that, the verbs like that, then you have intensity, certainty. It's a way to say it. You want to make something very vivid, very strong, with great emphasis. And you bring the two verbs together and you have thoroughly. You want to thoroughly, certainly, with intensity. You want to do good, is the way to say it. Now, in verse 5, amend your ways and your doings, your behavior, your action. Same verb, same statements as in verse 3. If you thoroughly execute judgment, and there is the same structure, with certainty, with intensity, to sit as a judge. You're going to sit as a judge. You make your judgments. You want to make your judgments. In verse 5, if you thoroughly execute judgment, you want to make a judgment between you. What are they doing in the gate of the city? Business? And everyone's trying to get their business, to get ahead. And there's bribery, there's misuse, there's abuse of all kinds. In fact, it's going to tell us in a minute, if we did it, you're going to see all kinds of terrible things. In the name of, we aren't treating the Israeli society rightly. We're being very unfair to the public in what we're doing, and we're not treating the public fairly. So now, and thus, we need to fix that. So, and we need to amend our ways and our doings, and you need to thoroughly execute judgment, justice, to sit as a judge, you're making judgments, and between a man and his neighbor, between one another, between each of you, you want to be fair and you want to be right in what you're doing in the world, in your social world, in your academic world, in your political world. You want to be fair and just and right. Well, they weren't. They were not doing that at all. So now, here's Israel. Here is Israel, that is Judah, tribe of Judah, Benjamin, in Jerusalem. The 10 tribes in the north are gone. And Nebuchadnezzar is headed down to destroy Jerusalem, ultimately. So now, over if you would, just to get the flavor of it. So here's Israel. What's Israel doing? Israel is looking to be able to lock in living comfortably the way they live, how they think, how they feel, how they act, how they handle the whole each other in this society. We want to keep on doing that. We want to do that. And we're going to go into the temple and sanction it. We're going to have God put his stamp. So we don't want to be totally leave God out. We want to include God. So we don't want to be godless because we're God's people. So we want the temple to, we're going to say, so everything we're doing is okay because we're going to the temple. It's okay. Now, you'll pick it up, even though we won't get there right now, in chapter 7, if I can, verse 10. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We're free to live any way we please because, you see, we went to church. We went to church. We're going to honor God, but we can live any way we please. And that's, it's all right because we honor God, don't we? We honor God. And it's sanctioned their whole lifestyle. Now, having said that, so you get a little flavor of that, and remember now, they're going and they're trusting in their traditions, their system. They're trusting in it. So we're going to go into the future, if you would, and go with me to Romans in chapter 9. Romans in chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, may I pick up, please, in thought, if I can, in remember now, I'll pick it up in, I'll have to read a little bit, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Remember, Paul is going to tell you, what about Israel in these days of grace in which we live? I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. Why? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I could wish myself out of the whole ball game and enter into the lake of fire. If I could get Israel saved, wow. But you can't do that because it doesn't work that way. But I could wish it. That's how involved Paul was with caring about his nation, the nation of Israel. Now, what about the nation of Israel? Verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and of the service of God, and the promises. Those whose are the fathers, and to whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who was over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not not all Israel, which are of Israel. In other words, all Jews aren't saved. They aren't all saved. Verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Those that believe, not the unbelieving Jews, the believing Jews. They're the ones. Now back over to see that, to chapter 2 of Romans. Chapter 2. And what we're looking at, you want to get, how are the Jews thinking in Jeremiah chapter 7? What are they doing? Well, they have all of this history, all of these benefits, and they're totally disregarding them. And God's going to judge them. Chapter 2 of Romans, picking up, if I may go directly to verse 8. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but God. It isn't an outward thing. We do everything. We did everything. No, it has to be in the heart. And that's where the true Jew is. That's where a saved Jew is. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Mark on your way back. Mark chapter 7. And the Lord is going to bring it up again. Mark chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 5, 7:5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah the prophet prophesied to you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. I heard all your words." Not going to go anywhere. Verse 7. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines," teaching, "the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God." Why do you reject the commandment of God? Remember Amos, we don't want to hear about what is right. We want to hear the truth. We want to do what we want to do. And that ended up Israel, Assyrian captivity. It's going to end up Judah and Jerusalem, the Babylonian captivity. In verse 9 again, "And he said unto them, Full well you reject the commandment of God, in order that you may keep your tradition." And that's what they wanted to do. So they're going to claim the temple sanctions and protects them to do what they do. Over, please, back over in your Bible. Oh, to chapter 7 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. Now, putting that together, if I can, in verse 7 and 21, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto you, unto your fathers, nor commanded them, in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." Now you are having your sacrifices. You do all the ritual. You do all the paraphernalia of worship. You do it in order to appease and sanction your own lifestyle. "When I took him, Israel, out of Egypt, there were no burnt offerings. And there were no sacrifices. You didn't have any. I just brought you out. You didn't have them till I gave the law," etc. That kind of thing. Now, in the light of that, over please, keeping that in mind, I didn't do that. Now, what were they doing? They're counting on their sacrifices. They're counting on their ritual. They're counting on the way they handle their lifestyle. They have the good and the bad, and hopefully the good and the bad. We aren't as bad as others. We aren't as good as others. But we're gooder. We're better than some. And that sanctions us. We get lost in the middle of the crowd. Now, over please, having said that, if you would, oh to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, may I pick up in the middle of the context if I can. Psalm 50, verse 12. God, remember now that sacrifices and everything. "If I were hungry," said God, I would not tell thee. Why not? For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now that's the right way to go, to amend your ways. But they aren't going to do that. No, no, not going to do that. Verse 16. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and casteth my words behind thee? I see that you hate instruction. You don't want to know the truth. You tell everyone, I had to tell people in Israel's day, in the north, be quiet, don't even try to buck it. The system's going where it's going. Just keep quiet and try to keep everything at peace and not too much trouble. Now, Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, David, what are you going to say? Now remember, David goofed. And he ended up having Uriah get killed, the husband of Bathsheba. And about a year, almost a year later, now we're going to read it. Nathan comes to David. He comes to him. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So David's looking for God's mercy. And he needs his mercy. He needs the mercy of God. What did the people of Israel need? They needed the mercy of God. They weren't looking for the mercy of God at all. They were claiming their religious symbols are adequate. People have lots of symbols. And we shared last time, remember, symbols are powerless. Symbols are. There is no symbol. A symbol is amoral. It has no good. It has no evil. I think we used our gargoyles. It has none. It's just symbol. It's what you do with it. What you do with the symbol. What you think. And thus, having said that, David, verse 12, remove unto me. Oh, I'm going to go to verse 6 so we can tie it together. Verse 6. Behold, I'm going to read verse 5 again. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. God, I just exercised my dumb sin nature. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God, what did Romans 2? Where is it? On the outside of the skin? Circumcision? No, it's a heart problem. Inside. Israel, do you understand it's an inside problem? No, it's outside the temple. Our ritual, our procedures ought to satisfy you, God. And they don't. God said, if I wanted that, all the animals in the world are mine. If you burn the whole forest, if you burn the whole forest of Lebanon and put all the animals in the world on top of it, that won't do it. It won't do you any good. It won't do you any good. Wow. Now, picking up thus, if I can, verse 16. Let me go from verse 6. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Now slide your eye over to verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, N-O-T, not sacrifice, else would I give it. In other words, all the sacrifices in the world can't make up for murdering the man. All the stuff you could do, buy, sell, give, we'll never do it. You can't. How do you atone? How do you get out of being a murderer, among other things? You don't. That's why you need the mercy of God, because there is no way. Israel, and remember, if we could go back, we don't have time, if we went back to Jeremiah chapter 7, if you fix your life, put this right, I'll save the city and save the temple. And Nebuchadnezzar will never step foot in this city if you just stop and do what I'm telling you to do. Get your act right with who I am. And sacrifice and offering isn't going to do it. You got to have your heart. Watch. Thus, verse 16, thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it, though if thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken spirit, and a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Thou, God, you will not despise. Pulverize. Boom. Crush it. Dust. Say, boy, I don't want to. You know it from Peter and that. One of the things that help us the most is to make sure you have a good piece of humble pie every now and then. Eat a lot of humble pie. You know, it may not always hit you, but eat it. Humble pie is the way to go. And they aren't eating humble pie at all. So now, sacrifices of a broken and contrite heart. And if you would do that, then that's what you're looking for, God. You're looking for the heart. That's right. I'm looking for the heart attitude. I'm the good God. I'm good. I'm God. There's no good apart from me. Remove God. And how much have you got left? You got G. Spell it. G. See if I can do it. G-O-O-D. And if I take a G-O-D out, I only have what? A zero. God said, I hope you understand that. Now, so thus, over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. And in the process, here's Isaiah. And remember now, you're coming to the chapter 66, the last chapter in Isaiah, and you're coming to that. And in the process, as you come to that, the Spirit of God is going to sum up. Where are you all about? God is going to, just like Deuteronomy sums up Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy puts it all together and frames it so you can walk out the door with it. Isaiah 66, you're going to bring it all together. Israel is apostate. They're wrong. Isaiah 66, verse 1. And before I do that, go back 66 chapters to 1. Chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and in verse 6, Isaiah 1, 6, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers, etc. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage, a little shack out in the middle of a field that should have a whole lot going in it, plants and everything, harvest, nothing, just a little building out there, as a little shack, cottage, and a vineyard. As a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we would have been like unto Gomorrah. God, if you didn't keep a handful of men and women, boys and girls that believed, there wouldn't be anybody. And would you please note, God makes it clear, so you don't think there's thousands there would the God there were thousands, but there aren't. And in verse 9, remember, a small remnant. But it doesn't say just a small remnant. It says a what? Very small remnant. Remember, Elijah says, I'm all alone. And God reminds him, no, there's 9 million out there. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 9,000. There's 9,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. That's all. There's 9,000. Wow. So here, now, here's your Isaiah chapter 1. They aren't doing good. And you come to chapter 66, verse 1. 66, 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. They're mine. Heaven and earth, I'm the creator of them all. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? You think by building and keeping the temple, you're all right without a change in heart. You think it's all right. You think if you just do these things for me, I'll be happy and leave you alone. That's what they were saying. And they're apostatizing. May I go down to verse 3? Listen to the description of them. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. The whole attitude, your whole thing, you consider one murder and the other. What's the difference between an ox and a murder? What's the difference between them to us? And you can keep reading. And all those, and he that sacrificed as a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck, and a dog is an unclean animal, would you offer an unclean animal and sacrifice? No, no. But you don't care. It doesn't make any difference to you. No. He that offendeth, offereth an oblation, sacrifice, as if he offered swine, pig's blood. And again, he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. So here they are. Here they are. Now, God, in the light of that, God, what have you got to lock on, to help us with? Well, back up to chapter 6, 66, verse 2. 66, 2. For all those things hath my hand made, heaven and earth. What are you going to do? Make me something I don't own? Are you going to give me something that isn't mine? You don't own anything. You don't even own the clothes on top of you. You don't own time. You don't own anything. We think we do, but we don't. And we don't. Now how are you going to prove that? Well, doesn't take much. Listen, did you ever read in Timothy, etc., you brought nothing into the world, and you surely are going to what? Take nothing out. If anything was yours, you could keep it. But it isn't yours, and you can't keep it. You can't do it, because it isn't yours. So now, God, all right. Verse 2, all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But God, in the light of that, here's the men, women, people in apostasy. They're building temples and claiming sanction. They're claiming safety. And it isn't true. They have no heart. Well, God, in the light of Isaiah, Israel, remember, Isaiah's living when the 10 tribes go into captivity. And then he's looking out there to Judah coming up down the road. And thus, but, the middle of verse 2, but to this man, God, tell me how to do it, how to amend my ways. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. I'm looking for the heart. I'm looking for somebody that's down. I don't want him up. Pride of all the sins of the human heart. Pride is the worst one. Pride. Because then we who are nothing claim to be that which we have no right to claim. Wow. Now, having said that, tremble at your word, God. I got it. All right, one more shot, perhaps. You got the idea? You getting it? God, what do you want? I just want you to come to me. I want you to amen your ways. I want you to get good. I want you to make it. I want you to get in the place where you have a right relationship. Your relationship to me is suitable, agreeable, workable, functional. And in that relationship, I will outwork all of the right things in the right way. And by the way, you know from Corinthians and Romans and all of it, I am your righteousness. If you're trusting your own rightness, you're never, never going to make it. You don't have it. You are never right enough. Your thoughts, your dreams, your aspirations, your whatever you wish, it's never going to make it. Now, God, here we are, and you're telling to come with a broken and contrite heart. God, now, and you aren't asking for sacrifice of animals and that? No. Those were only pointing to the Son, my Son. Now, God, it isn't my sacrifice then. No. It's my sacrifice, said God. I'm the one sacrificing. I'm giving my Son. You aren't making any. I'm making it. I'm making the whole thing. The only thing you can do as a believer in our day, in the church age, is present your body a living one, not a dead one. You don't go. You can't. You're a living one. You're representing the wonderful sacrifice that God made, and you're believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you're looking to God. And God, it's a whole nother way. So the good that I need to amend, to act right, to do right, to come out right, I can't do it in and of myself. No, I got to look to you, God. Psalm 34, closing. Psalm 34, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 6, this poor man cried, that's David, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord campeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Taste and see the Lord is good. That's the word you're looking at. Amend. Amend. Amend your ways. How am I going to do it? I got to look to the right way, person in the right, for the right reason, with my heart right, so I can get there. God, I need the good. I need you. Thus, O taste and see, verse 6, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any what? Good thing. That's the same word again. Good. You're right. You want it, me? I'll make it come out right. I could strip you of everything, and you always still have everything. As long as you have me, you have everything. True? If I take everything away, you always have me. Always. Wow. Now, thus, in verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see what? Good. That's right. There's your word again. The one, I want to amend your ways, and I'll hold off. Nebuchadnezzar will never get down. You'll have the temple, the city, and you can go on living like you are for a while. Like in the days of Nineveh, they had another 150 years because God, Jonah went through there and told them to shape up or you're in trouble. Now, So here, in if I can, verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Well, how am I going to do good? There's your word again. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh, or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, they are, just like everybody else. But the Lord delivereth her, boy or girl, man or woman, out of them all. So God, and put that another way, Philippians 4, you'll learn how to be content whether you have everything or you have nothing. Because you always have everything. See? You always have everything. So you get all gone. Your health is gone. Everything's gone. That's all right. That's all right. You don't need it. You don't need it. The only thing you need is me, said God. It's my sacrifice that makes it possible, not yours. Not yours. So here we are moving forward into Christmas and all that kind of stuff. And God, you have to help us going, because all kinds of things, they aren't the same as 50 years ago. And say, well, I haven't lived that long. Well, then go back to whatever you like. They aren't the same anymore. And they're even going to be different if another year goes by. Because the effect and the movement to crush and remove, just like in Amos, to remove truth, to remove light, to remove Christ, to remove it, so we can handle our freedom. You see. Now, the trouble is, it isn't going to work out good. And if we had time to go back in Jeremiah 7, God will tell you, if you do this, it will be to your ruin. If you follow what you're doing, you are going to be one sorry person. And you know what? The verb is, the movement, you did it to yourself. You did it to yourself. Now, anyway, that's just a half a thought, and a great thought, actually. So you're trying to sit there, what can we do and make it work? You don't have to make it work. God does. You're going to trust him. To outwork everything, whatever you do. In other words, you're going to trust a good God to do good things in a good way to honor himself. And that good way is according to the will of God. What is the best thing in the world? That's what God does. God doesn't have second best. God doesn't have third best. There's God's good will, and there's ours. Take your pick. Wow. Anyway, so you may have a particular request as we go.